1420 AM, W248 DE, Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Israel has proposed a six-week ceasefire that would allow Palestinians to go back to their homes in Gaza. President Biden says Hamas should accept the deal.
At this point, Hamas no longer is capable of carrying out another October 7th. It's one of the Israelis' main objectives in this war, and quite frankly, a righteous one.
Donald Trump says he'll appeal his hush money cover-up conviction, calling his prosecution a rigged trial and more during a long statement this morning in New York.
If they can do this to me, they can do this to anyone. And these are bad people. These are, in many cases, I believe, sick people.
He's no longer a Democrat, and what he did could make it tougher for Democrats to win key votes in the U.S. Senate. Here's CBS's Jim Krasula.
West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin has registered himself as an independent. Manchin, who has been a lifelong Democrat, is not seeking re-election and is due to leave the U.S. Senate next January.
CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
Seth here, host of Over the Back Fence. We're on the air live every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., taking your calls to buy or sell, talk local events, or whatever, only on WFHR.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers is appointing three new members to the University of Wisconsin Board of Regents. Tim Nixon is a Green Bay area bankruptcy attorney. Jack Salzwedel is a former CEO of American Family Insurance. And Desmond Adongo is a student at UW-Oshkosh. Regent Bob Atwell's term has expired, but he says he won't step down right away. First Lady Jill Biden campaigns in Wisconsin tonight. She tells Good Morning America the difference between her husband, the president, and challenger Donald Trump is clear.
We have a choice. We can have, you know, my husband, who is calm and steady and strong and has character and integrity, or we have the other choice, which is chaotic.
Mrs. Biden is speaking at the opening ceremonies for Milwaukee's Festa Italiana. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The Wood County Highway Department will be chip sealing roads over the next 2 weeks. County Highway D in the town of Cranmore all the way up to where it hits Highway 73. This includes the towns of Hanson, Seneca, and Siegel. They'll also be working on sections of County Highway B in the towns of Rock and Cary. The sections connect Highway 10 to Highway 73. During the chip sealing process, these roads will be closed to traffic and local access will be limited. The work they are doing will leave loose rock on these roadways for an extended period of time. The Wisconsin Rapids Municipal Zoo is open. You can visit them with no admission fee from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Tuesday through Sunday. Have you ever wanted to be a zookeeper? People ages 10 and up can live a day in the life of a zookeeper. There's 15 opportunities throughout the summer. Register to secure your spot. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
It's the Brewers and the White Sox. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball tonight, the Brewers opening a weekend series against the Chicago White Sox, and the Sox not doing well at all. They've lost 8 games in a row. Manager Pedro Grifol calling his players out this week.
We got no hit through 8. We had a pinch hitter break it up. The rest of the guys, not the rest of the guys, most of the guys were flat today, unacceptable. That's all I got. Flat. Period. Major league game. Got to respect it. Pretty simple.
How do you and the coaching staff treat the guys after that?
I'm not going to talk about that.
Why does that happen?
I'm not going to talk about it.
What do you see about the events?
No adjustments. We didn't make any adjustments to this guy.
The Brewers in first place by 5 games, having won 5 of their last 7. College football, the Badgers announcing yesterday they're going to play 2 of their regular season games on Fridays, the August 30th game against Western Michigan, conflicting with many high school games being played that Friday night. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
WFHR invites you to join David Farmbrough of Coldwell Banker Seward Realtors and tune into Let's Talk Real Estate. The next show is coming up and we'll be talking about topics that matter to you, whether you're a buyer or a seller. So if you're looking forward to welcoming David Farmbrough to the show and taking your questions, be sure to tune in every second Tuesday of the month at 3:30 right here on your locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
Partly sunny and seasonal today, with highs hitting the mid-70s.
Clouds thicken tonight and chances of some scattered showers start to push in overnight, bringing us a damp start to the day tomorrow. We may see some storms by the afternoon. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 78 degrees.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm, built for real life.
I love my kids so much. I once sat for 3 hours in the cold rain to watch her soccer team lose by 18 goals.
I love my kids so much, I once used a tube to suck snot out of her stuffed nose at 3 a.m.
You win.
Love your kids? Love them enough to make sure they're in the right car seat. From toddlers to tweens, visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat to find the right seat for their age and size. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us on Monday as we'll take a look back over the weekend and launch our new Scotty Summer Statewide Text to Win Contest. Maybe we'll find a pool boy. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, home for the Devil's Advocates.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this Friday, May 31st, 2024. I have your host, James, with you. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. In part two today at 3:30, we're going to speak with Reverend Beth Habhager, talk about things going on over at the Moravian Church. They have a community book sale coming up and some other fun stuff we'll get to. But right now, we have some great friends of ours in from Three Bridges Recovery right here in Wisconsin Rapids. I want to welcome in Liz Walter. Liz, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
I appreciate the time. And I want to welcome in again Sarah Bristow. Sarah, good to see you.
You too.
Thanks so much for being here, you two. I want to start off right out the gate journalistically mentioning that this is a important topic to me, a very personal topic to me growing up in my family. I grew up with an addict. I grew up with a professional addict. My father was incredible at this. And I'm joking a little bit to try to lighten the mood a little for the audience, but I've been very honest with the audience, not only with when you guys join us, but talking about my father and how there's no scenario growing up that I thought I would be taking care of my 60-plus-year-old father. Never thought in a moment that that would happen. I grew up seeing this man who is the epitome of what I am as a man, and I'm a poor man's version of him, but I also grew up seeing him abuse his body and destroy a body that he built, worked so hard athletically to build up. Heroin destroyed him. Heroin destroyed many years of his life. The scenarios where that usually goes, dead or in jail. Just that's how that usually ends. The fact that he's sitting right now playing with his baseball cards and probably driving my mother a little crazy is a miracle in my family. And it doesn't happen without organizations like Three Bridges. It doesn't happen without a community and support. Everybody needs a hand from time to time. And that's a big part of what this is about. And I could ramble all, next 20 minutes about, recovery and a lot of the good work that's being done. I'd rather talk to pros. I'd rather talk to some people who are really in the now and really in the know of this right now. So let's start off talking a little bit about what Three Bridges Recovery is and the good work that you all are doing.
Absolutely. I can start. So Three Bridges is a nonprofit charity organization that was developed in 2018. And it was the opiate and drug force task team here in Wisconsin Rapids that wanted to make an organization that could help some of the issues surrounding substance use disorder in their area. And since then, we really have grown into almost all of central Wisconsin. One of the most important thing that we do is we hire peer support specialists. So these are individuals that have taken the recovery coach training or the certified peer specialist training, and they all have lived experience with substance use disorder, alcohol use disorder, and or mental health. And so we know that that lived experience and sharing that experience with others helps the healing process. You mentioned community. It is a huge part, is being a part of something to help you heal from your substance use.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you, Liz. Very well said. Sarah, did you want to add anything?
Yes, something to speak to that. A fun fact I always like to share is I was the first emergency department call for Three Bridges Recovery. I now supervise the program that helped save my life. And I feel like that's the biggest testimony I have to say that peer support works.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good one. It's a good reference. It's a good reference. Yeah, yes. Yeah. And I really appreciate you sharing it. I really, really do. I think it's, I not only think it's brave and powerful, but it, like you said, it is very topical. It very really does touch on this and the importance of this. But also, if you don't mind me piggybacking on that, the importance of this in our society, in our community. There is this is a great community and a very understanding one, and one that really does seem to step up where others don't. And I never want to make light of that. But we also know that, and you two know this as well as I do, that there are people out there that there are judgmental on these subjects, or maybe not as open-minded about these subjects as a lot of people are in this community. So a lot of the time when we have organizations on like this, I want to try to reach some of those individuals and encourage them to be a part of the team, if you will, and be on this side, the right side of history, if you will. And one of the things that I think is important to note is your story, Sarah, because you went from that to being a contributor to our community, to being an integral part of things. You do some important work, vital work over there. That doesn't happen without Three Bridges. You are adding to the taxes of our community. You are adding to this of our community, et cetera, et cetera. That stuff adds up to our community and helps the economy of our community. And not you in particular, but individuals that struggle with this disease oftentimes will end up in jail, which adds on taxpayers. That with Three Bridges, not as many people hopefully ending up in jail and adding to your taxes and those things. So to the individual that thinks this doesn't affect you, or you don't care about this subject, or any of these things, you are a part of this. Whether you want to be or not, you are a part of this. Why not be on the winning side? Yes. Why not be on the side of things that is making change, that is making things better in our community? Anybody can sit there and point the finger. Anybody can sit there and judge. That's one of the easiest things anybody can do in society. It's also something children do. We're adults. Let's handle this like adults. Let's look out for each other and help each other where we can. Whatever your reasonings are, your reasonings. But please, we encourage you to be on the right side of history with this one. To, you know, when you have opportunities to even just mention Three Bridges, especially if you know somebody out there that's struggling, like, hey, you know, there's this organization that could really be helpful. Something as simple as that could be a game changer for somebody's life.
Absolutely.
You mentioned a little bit of this, Sarah. If you all don't mind, one of my favorite questions and things to do is getting a little bit of an origin story, a little bit of your backstory and how you got involved in this. Liz, you mentioned that so oftentimes people in these positions that are struggling with this disease, oftentimes they have a blind eye or deaf ears to people until they hear somebody who's actually gone through it.
Right.
I mentioned my father before. My father, off the top of my head, four or five people I can think of that he has changed their path because of his story and talking with them. My dad doesn't go in there and talk down to anybody. My dad doesn't treat people differently. If anything, he tries to build them up and say, hey, you ain't as bad as me, or you know, something like that, or whatever, and everything. I that feels like a big part of this. But that story, that personal story of yours, I'm a little curious about that, and I appreciate you sharing things with us. So, Liz, I'll start with you. How did you get involved with Three Bridges Recovery?
So, I guess we could go back a little bit. Growing up, you know, I always just kind of felt different and not a part of. And I actually had a sister that had death by suicide when I was at a young age. I was 12. So at 13, I was running around with all this pain. And I found a substance that I used, and that pain kind of disappeared. And so as my life progressed, I tried other substances, and it progressed more and more. I was able to function for a while, but in the year 2000, 2001, this little pill was everywhere called OxyContin, and I got a hold of it, not knowing that when I wanted to switch to a different substance or come off of that substance, that I would have physical withdrawals. Mm. Such bad physical withdrawals that I couldn't function in my daily life. Mm. So that continued for a good 10 years. And then all of a sudden, these little pills were not prescribed as much anymore, not as much available. So I had to seek other resources so I wouldn't be sick, so I could go to work, so I could do all the things that I needed to do to get through the day. And I ended up trying some harder substances and getting addicted to those. Mm-hmm. And it progressed even more when my house got raided and I went to the jail for the first time. I was 30 years old. And that was kind of like definitely an eye-opener, but it didn't stop me. It had such a grip on me. So I ended up kind of running from the law, and I got a whole year failure to report felony, and I ended up sitting in county for a total of 9.5 months. And so I took that time to kind of like reroute my brain and make new positive neural pathways and really choose my family, my children, choose myself over these substances and work on the healing process, work on why I was using, because we know that substances are just a symptom of a deeper, rooted issue. So I did that, and I found my way through the 12 steps. And I went back to school. I got my AOD associates and my human services associates. And then 2020 happened, the pandemic. I had a few years clean, but man, that was just hard because we talked about community. And now we're back to isolation. All the meetings that helped me, gone. You know, all my friends in recovery, couldn't see them. And I struggled, but I started a Zoom meeting and got connected again. But I, like I said, I graduated, but then there was no place to get a job. So one of my good friends, Jesse Luer, who's been on your show in the past, he was always talking about Three Bridges. I was like, okay, I'll take this training. And it really opened my mind and to all the different pathways of recovery. And I started to be a recovery coach, and I loved it. Because now I got to connect again. I get to reach more people than just the people that are coming to meetings. And so I've been with Three Bridges since 2020. Started doing jail facilitating, which is like one of my favorite things because, like we always say, we can walk in and walk out on the same day.
Thank you, Liz. Thank you. I admire you very much. I appreciate you very, very much. And definitely, I cannot thank you enough for your story, sharing that with us and everything. I want to talk with you, come back to some things you mentioned there, talk about. Sarah, you've told us a little bit of your story in the times that you've joined us and everything, but I don't think we've had a chance to really dive into that anymore, any deeper than that. Would you mind sharing a little bit of yours?
Always. So I started out, I was a kid that went through some trauma and found substances to be this profound experience. This was how I was meant to feel. I wasn't meant to feel miserable and sad. And throughout that, it progressed into high school. It started out with drinking and THC and then into high school. Hindsight's 2020, obviously, but I thought through this whole time, like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm a high school kid, you know? We're supposed to be partying and experimenting. Until in, this was 15 years ago, I was 15. So I got a bad kidney infection from drinking so much. And I ended up being prescribed Oxy as well. You see some similarities there. Yeah. This was a whole new profound experience for me. This is how I meant to feel. No hangovers, no, I obviously wasn't aware either of withdrawals or anything associated with that. Well, that ended up progressing until the age of 19. I was in college, and finding those pills became a lot harder, and I ended up trying heroin for the first time. Whole new profound experience, right? After that, my life spiraled fairly quickly. I always mention this part of my story because I think it was a big turning point for me, but I had robbed Denny's. And after that, kind of went into hiding, came up here to Wisconsin Rapids. I grew up in the Dells area, so came up to Wisconsin Rapids and ended up going to the methadone clinic for a few years. And so I reconnected. It started meeting people up in this area that weren't necessarily who I should have been connecting with. And throughout that, I started using meth and benzodiazepines quite a bit. And one day I decided to just stop going to the clinic. And I ended up with some pretty severe withdrawals. I was spending a whole day just twitching. My knees would buckle, I was flinging cigarettes across the room, just full on twitching. And this wasn't my normal withdrawals. And my mom and my sister were concerned. They're like, you need to go to the hospital. This isn't your normal signs. They had already been familiar with this throughout my active use. And my sister came, bathed me, clothed me, and took me to the emergency room, and I ended up having a grand mal seizure in the hospital. I like that you basically mentioned stigma, because that's my soapbox. When I had gone into the emergency, I didn't want to go because of that stigma. I was avoiding help because of that stigma. And when I went in there and I woke up from the seizure, I had lost 2 months of my life. It was August and I thought it was still May. I had received a second OWI in that time that I had no recollection of getting. And when the doctor came in, I'd never had a seizure before, so I was concerned. Is this going to be forever? Is this, you know, is something wrong with my brain? And he looked at me and said, you don't have one. And, you know, now I chuckle at that sometimes, but I'm also like, in that moment, I was like, I'm not going to be cared for. They're not going to check into everything. They're not going to make sure everything's okay with me. I'm just a quote-unquote junkie coming in here and going to be swept to the side. But they had a recovery coach come in. And I've had her permission to share our story. Her name was Megan. And she came in and she knew exactly where I was coming from because she was in recovery. I think at that point she was about 2 years. I'm getting goosebumps now.
You and me both.
Yeah. I think at that point she was about 2 years into recovery. My mom and my sister had no idea what to do with me. I had no idea what to do with me. And her coming in there as someone who didn't judge, I at that point trusted nobody to help me. Obviously not criminal justice, not the hospital, not places that you would generally go to for help because there was so much of that stigma. And she came in, she got me connected to detox, and this was in 2018, so Three Bridges had just started. And while I didn't remain completely sober as of that time, that was when I stopped being physically dependent on drugs. And that carried into my recovery. So a couple of years later, when I got pregnant and didn't have to go through withdrawals, was able to just stop. And, you know, now I just celebrated 4 years on January 14th. Nice. And we're doing it. I had a year after, something that Megan had kept saying to me was, you could be doing what I'm doing one day, you know? And I kept looking, I'm like, I'm about to swear. I was like, there's no way. Do you see me? You know? And as soon as I had that first year of complete abstinence, I reached out to her like, hey, not sure if you remember me. And she was like, I absolutely do. It was basically like a you're hired on the spot kind of thing. And now I supervise the emergency department program.
That's awesome, Sarah. That's so darn cool. I think you are one of the cooler people I've met. I think you are one of the braver people I've met. And that is saying something in my time.
Thank you.
I really admire your story. I really admire you being here, sharing that with us. Thank you. It is so integral to what you guys just shared and everything, to not only the story of Three Bridges, but the story going forward of our society. There are many communities like ours that have been affected by different things, different whether it is like around here, a mill going down and people looking for work and struggling struggling with their mental health and that, and looking for things to make them feel better, or the opioid epidemic, which has touched the lives of almost everybody listening to this right now. We understand, I think as a society, we understand these things, but it takes stories. It takes people talking to people and being genuine to really get this home to people and to really make that next step. It's interesting because so much of this I talk about with mental health and how much it ties into what we're talking about today, too, and going forward. Liz, you mentioned something about, you didn't word it this way, but rewiring your brain, essentially.
Yes.
And that's something that I can really relate to, where it seems so impossible to some people out there that is something you can do. But it's so accessible, and it's so possible for anybody listening out there, whether you struggle with addiction or not, there are chances that you have some mental health issue that might be bothering you or something else. And to understand that there can be a better day is important for everybody to realize out there. This is something that can be done, but it takes time.
Yes.
Both of your stories had integral parts to them. All of it was integral, but key parts to it, to I think our listeners and to me and many out there, of it didn't happen in a day. It didn't happen where you snapped your fingers like, all right, I'm going to be better now. And all of a sudden everything was rainbows and sunshine and all that. It took work.
Yes.
It took time and patience. Mm-hmm. I imagine not only from yourselves with each your own self, but family members, friends, different people involved in your lives. So this is where we talk about community. We talk about the support, that how much that means. It could be the difference of a person, you know, getting better, being a taxpayer, finding a job, all these things, and a difference of them not, and having the patience and understanding of that. There's also accountability from both of you that's so key to this conversation too, because this is another thing that we get pushback on. Well, I'm not giving this person a blah, 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 all that. First off, I guarantee whoever's saying that is getting some government help, or they have gotten some government help in their day. So I don't want to hear anything about not wanting to take a hand or anything like that, or give a hand or anything like that. Nobody makes it through life alone. So that's key to this conversation. But it's also a big part of going forward here and doing more work and getting reaching more lives and helping more and more people. The understanding that we don't always know what another person is going through. Again, we talk about this with mental health a lot. If I come into the room with a broken arm and a cast on my arm, you guys are going to feel bad for me. You're going to ask what happened. You're going to sign the cast, something like that. If the cast is my brain, if my brain is dealing with that, we don't have as much empathy for it. Mm-hmm. We need to get better as a society to have empathy for these things and have empathy for those situations. We do that. We're able to get to there by people sharing their stories like that, by being brave. So it really does help. And it's also inspirational because it's one more bit of data to tell people, whoever's sitting there and doesn't think that they can grow or they can evolve or change or something, that you can do it, that it is possible.
Yes. I was saying, like, I like to talk about, and that has been said a lot, is that we recover out loud so others don't have to suffer in silence.
That's good. That's a good line. That's beautiful.
And you know, taking the shame out of our substance use disorder, out of our addiction, and being able to share this without having, like, you know, worry about what they're saying about us. And it really helps other people come out of their shells and say, hey, actually, I've been struggling with this, or I've been struggling with that. I know it took other people coming clean with what they're saying and what they're going through to give me the courage and the strength to talk about what I was going through.
Mm-hmm. I don't believe that anybody has ever been motivated by being insulted or being talked down to. It doesn't do any good. It only helps the person talking, and it doesn't even do them any good, because that person doing that kind of thing is oftentimes got plenty in their own wheelhouse, in their own background that could be pointed out to and stuff, but it also doesn't help the process. If you really care about something, if you're really that angry about something or whatever, then get to work. Mm-hmm. Help get this done. Help make this better and everything. Anybody could sit there and whine and complain. Be a part of things at Three Bridges. Spread the word about the work that they're doing over there. When you see events like the great stand-up and improv comedy show that the Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater did with you all and everything, that combination, I heard such great things about it. When events like that go on, attend those events. You can help Three Bridges by many different ways. Are there other things we can do as we're wrapping up here that we can do to help and just spread the word about what you all are doing?
I'd really just like to make sure I share about our referral process. We don't need a doctor's referral. We don't need your insurance. It is completely free to the individual. We're just here to support you on whatever your pathway of recovery is. It doesn't have to be specific to 12-step or probation. We are really just here to help. Mm-hmm. And we have access to harm reduction. And we don't even need to know your name for those things. And if you're someone who doesn't struggle with substance use and just needs some general education, we're open to provide that too.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you. And Liz, thank you again for the time and everything. Did you have anything else you want to say?
I just wanted to give a shout out to our upcoming event. It's not until September, but it's called Fall Into Recovery. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be in Marshfield.
Yeah. When we get closer to it, we'll definitely be talking about that. In fact, you know what? You guys did too good of a job. You're going to have to come back. I'm sorry, but you're too good. You have to come back. Sometime before September, we'll talk about the event.
Yeah.
And the door is always open for y'all. If you ever need anything, just let us know. Thank you so much for being with us today. And even more big thank you for what you're doing for our community. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
You can find out more about the good work that the gang over there is doing at threebridgesrecoverywi.com. threebridgesrecoverywi.com. Also, you can give them a call at 715-424-0403. It's 424-0403. We'll be back with more Midday Magazine here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
I'm Phil Briggs, a Navy veteran and host of the weekly radio show CBS Eye on Veterans. I've been wondering how some people manage to defy age and stay incredibly active into their golden years. Just ask my fellow military vet, Chuck Norris. You'd never know it, but the guy's 84 years old and still looks amazing. Now, Chuck Norris's key to longevity started when he created Morning Kick. Morning Kick combines 10 supplements in one. Morning Kick has probiotics to help shed those extra pounds and prebiotics for healthy digestion, superfoods for muscles and joints, and some of the most potent anti-aging supplements you can find. If you've been searching for that extra boost of energy, want to enhance your overall well-being, or just want to feel younger, go to roundhouseprovisions.com. That's Roundhouse Provisions. Use code SHOP or text SHOP to 511-511 and claim 40% off and a 90-day satisfaction guarantee. Text SHOP to 511-511. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA, and this product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease, and text fees may apply.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR, Max Inc. Radio.
His voice is a dream. Coming up, Eau Claire musician Brian Bethke joins us live for an in-studio concert. I'm Terry Barr. Join me, Rucker, and Jimmy Kay.
Weekend evenings, 6 until midnight, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. It's better
over here. If you're 55 and up, T-Mobile has plans built just for you. Like 2 lines of talk, text, and data for just $30 a line. That's a 45% savings versus Verizon and AT&T. Experience all this and more on America's largest 5G network. It's better over. At T-Mobile, customers 55 and up can get 2 lines of talk, text, and data for just $30 a line. Switch today.
With AutoPay using debit or bank account plus taxes and fees, 45% off 2 lines versus AT&T Starter and Verizon Welcome plan benefits vary. See details.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Donald Trump's 34 felony convictions could boost President Biden in the polls. That's according to the Marquette poll from earlier this month.
In the guilty scenario, Biden was up by 4 points. In the not guilty scenario, Trump was up by 6 points. That was a hypothetical when we asked it. In the next week or two or three, we will see.
Pollster Charles Franklin tells Civic Media the verdict should move more undecided voters than partisans. Meanwhile, Trump is set to be sentenced just 4 days before the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee in July. It's not clear how it will affect plans. The GOP has been battling the Secret Service over the size of the convention's security zone. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Rooted in Red has their season opener this Saturday. They'll have the band Back Porch Jams playing at 3, and Southbound starts at 6:30. They'll have several food trucks there to whet your appetite, including Purple Basil, Shorty Barbecue, and Maisie's. You can stop down on June 1st at 1060 Center Street in Wisconsin Rapids to see this century-old fifth-generation cranberry farm, enjoy local food, and live music. It's the 12th annual Free Fun Weekend with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. You can visit any state park for free, and no fishing license are required. No fishing tackle? Well, you can borrow some gear for free at a tackle loaner site. There are almost 60 fishing tackle loaner sites across Wisconsin. Half of them are located at state parks. You can find a location near you at dnr.wisconsin.gov. All bag and size limits, species restrictions, and other regulations still apply. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Vanna White is not ready to retire just because Pat Sajak is hanging it up after 41 years. Sajak's last episode of Wheel will air June 7th. The 67-year-old White says she never would have thought she would have been at the job for 40 years, but loves that she doesn't play a character, is just herself, and gets to give money away. You could try to find something unlikable about Vanna White, but you would not be successful. Jerry Seinfeld cannot stay out of the news lately, but at least he admits he's not a real man. What? You heard it right. Seinfeld says he misses the days of the 60s when there was a hierarchy that started with manly men at the top like JFK, Muhammad Ali, and Sean Connery, who, by the way, openly admitted to slapping multiple women. Nice comp, Jer. Seinfeld says he is not a fan of toxic masculinity and admits he never made it to real man status because he became a comedian, which allowed him to remain childish. Yeah, that's why. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Partly sunny and seasonal today with highs hitting the mid-70s. Clouds thicken tonight and chances of some scattered showers start to push in overnight, bringing us a damp start to the day tomorrow. We may see some storms by the afternoon. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 78 degrees.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
The IRS finally caught up with Louie.
I hadn't paid my taxes in 8 years. I owed the IRS a lot of money.
Louie was in deep trouble.
We're going to take your house, put a lien on your bank account, garnish your pay. They don't care. They're going to take your paycheck.
Louie found out about Optima Tax Relief, the leading tax resolution firm. A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, they've resolved over $1 billion for their clients.
Optima Tax, they helped me. They calmed me down. They made me feel comfortable, and I trust them.
Louie has a lot to be thankful for.
I don't owe the IRS anymore, and I'm able to live a comfortable life, a lot better life. It was because of Optima Tax.
For tax help you can trust, call Optima now for a free consultation. Take it from Louie.
If you owe the IRS, don't go it alone. Give Optima Tax a call. They can help you.
Call 800-783-8055. That's 800-783-8055. 800-783-8055.
Optima Tax Relief.
Testimonial from an actual client. Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
John Peterson and Gordy Young.
There's an article that's going to come out Monday about John and Gordy on Channel3000.com.
And it better be good.
We'll have our review of Doug's review Monday.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 until 8.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this Friday, May 31st, 2024. Have your host, James, behind the mic. Welcoming into the studio, one of my favorite people, Reverend Beth Habhager, is with us right now from the Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church. We're going to talk a little bit about some events they have coming up. Beth, it's good to see you.
Good to see you, too. Thank you for having me on.
Been too long.
Yeah, it has.
Beth doesn't know it, but she's going to be having to guest spot on the morning show with me pretty soon.
Oh, okay.
If it works out with your schedule
and
stuff.
All right. We'll see what we can do to make it work.
We'll be hearing from Beth again, too. But we've got a lot to talk about today, Beth. I want to get into these events coming up this summer that y'all have. But if you don't mind rewinding just for a moment, the Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church has done an amazing job over the last couple of years of hosting the Winter's Farmers Market and really giving an opportunity for our vendors, our ag industry, and really our community to enjoy the farmers market even in the winter months. Mm-hmm. Curious how it went this year.
It went extremely well. And we added some extra things. Like this year, we had some food trucks that we had in our parking lot. And we're hoping to continue that in the fall when it comes back. We want to thank the community for supporting us and for coming out. It's not your traditional necessarily farmers market because we don't have a lot of the fresh produce, but we did have somebody that was selling fish. We had people selling eggs. So there was stuff available. We also had a whole lot of crafter booths that there's, if you have an event to buy something for, that's the place to go. So we want to thank the community for coming out and look for us. We'll be starting up again at the end of October, beginning of November.
Good. And of course, we have our summer farmers market coming up that is right next to the Moravian Church, right there over there on Goggins Street and everything. So looking forward to that. We'll talk more about it as we get closer to that opening up. But a great job by everybody again.
Yes.
And if you are a vendor that kind of it does excel a little bit more in the winter months, encourage you to reach out to the Moravian Church, find out more about being a part of things next year.
Absolutely. We've got a Facebook page, so you can find us there, or you can go to our website, which is www.wrmoravian.org. And there's a tab that you would go to under more There's information there specifically for the vendors of the farmers market. So as soon as we get our new contracts and things like that updated and ready to go, you can find them there.
You guys have a great book sale coming up. I want to get into that with you, Beth.
Yes. This is an annual sale that we do every year. 100% of the proceeds go towards scholarships. We were so thrilled with the turnout last year, and we again want to thank the community for coming out and helping us with this. We were able to raise over $3,000. And so this year we are giving away through Midstate three $1,000 scholarships.
Wow.
Specifically to non-traditional students. Mm-hmm. There are so many scholarship opportunities for those going straight out of high school into college, but there are fewer opportunities for those that may be going for a second career or looking to advance their education to be able to continue in the career they're in. And so being able to offer a scholarship specifically for those people who may financially not be able to do it, but have that desire. So now there's an opportunity for them to do that.
One of the things I've learned through you, Beth, and talking, working with you over the years and stuff, is how, you know, I think I've always understood, like a lot of people, how churches can be involved in communities, mm-hmm. and they can do good work in communities and be there. I didn't ever see churches as being so proactive. So, and not so much just listening, but asking, hey, what do you need? Hey, what can we do? Things like that. And so often, I one of the bigger things I've learned is how so many of our churches cover that gray area, that spot in our society or our communities that maybe not everybody sees or everybody pays attention to be blunt, but you are very aware of, you know. And so seeing this and being able to do something like this for people who maybe there isn't your traditional scholarships available for them, that $1,000 is a game changer.
It can be, yes.
That can be the difference of somebody even continuing their education or not, which is such an impact on the future. It's such a beautiful thing to be able to do. And it's so appreciated by this community. But it also speaks to, again, the idea that there are these gray areas in our society, and we need all people, all the whole community to kind of see these things and help with them. And we can help by buying some books.
Yeah, come on out and do that. It's coming up. Right now, we do have our book bin out, and we'll be putting some posters up throughout the community to let people know it's out. Usually about March, we start getting phone calls saying, when is the bin going to be out? It's out now. Mm-hmm. It's usually out. This year, it's going to be out from Memorial Day weekend, which was last weekend.
Yeah.
And then it's going through September 15th is when we're going to try and cut off accepting books so that we have an opportunity to get them organized and ready and put out to where they need to be. So if you've got old books, like maybe you're having a garage sale and you had books that never sold at your garage sale, bring them over to the church, put them in the bin. We ask that they be at least in decent condition, not falling apart. We try not to accept a lot of, we don't want to have textbooks or magazines and things like that, but really we're focusing on children's books, books about hobbies and events and things like that. We also accept some media. So if you've got DVDs that you're looking to try to get rid of, maybe sell, or we've had LPs in the last several years, which has been fun because that's really making a comeback now. You can find some of that there. Games, puzzles, large print books are something that we're really looking for. We find that there's a need out there. As our community ages, you know, our eyes don't work as well as we get older.
Tell me about it.
Some of us are experiencing that firsthand. Having a larger print to be able to read helps make reading accessible through later years. But just about any type of book, there on the bin itself, if you open up the lid, there is a list of what we will not be accepting. So we do ask that you be mindful of that as well. We do want to accept as much as we possibly can, but there are some restrictions to what we can do.
I worked at Goodwill for a couple of years, and one of the things that I know that we always told people when they wanted to drop things off is this something you would give to a relative? Is this something that you would want to relative to use, or sibling, or child of your children to use, or something like that. It's not the complete barrier, but it's something to think about if you're on the fence of will they want this or not, you know, debating about that. I also don't think it's a horrible idea, and we don't want to take up too much of your time, of course, but you know, asking, hey, I'm you know, the list here, it's not a certain when it comes to this particular item, you know, hey, ask, you know, it doesn't hurt to ask. The idea, just the last thing we ask you to do do is bring these items and just drop them off and not even pay attention to that. You're just giving more and more work to great people that are working already so hard. So we do appreciate you paying attention to that list and the things that are and aren't accepted.
Right. And the condition of them, the other thing to keep in mind is that people who come here, this may be the only place that they can afford to buy a book. And you want to make sure that they can do that with dignity. So instead of giving them something that's like on its last legs and falling apart, giving them something that they can be proud of as well as they read and accomplish with it.
And maybe I'm alone on this one, but I really can't think of many items that feel better to hand off. Mm-hmm. You know, a book. Books are so, they hit us. They hit us differently than any other medium. And there's something about being able to hand that over. I'm talking about this and I'm making a motion with my hand because I'm thinking of my grandfather handing me my first book and how much that changed my life. And I wouldn't have had that book without him. There's no way my family could have afforded it or anything like that. It's a complete collection of Sherlock Holmes and Edgar Allan Poe's complete collection. And it changed my life and everything. And I couldn't even read that well back then. But I got better at reading because I wanted so badly to understand these stories. That kind of thing can happen every day. That kind of thing can happen with book sales and things like this. And you can be a part of that by donating these books.
Right. And we kind of do that every day. When we read a good book and we're excited about the story, we can't wait to share what we've found in that book and the experience we have. And this is a way to do it with somebody that maybe isn't in your circle. Mm-hmm. Somebody who's never had a chance to read that particular book. And it's always fun to watch the interactions as the people come in and they talk to each other about, oh, I read that one. That was a great one. You know, we actually have a couple of donors, and I want to reach out and say thank you so much for donating every year. They will write their initials on the corner of like the inside of the book or on the front page.
Oh, I love that.
So that when they come back to buy more books the following year, they're not rebuying books that they've already donated.
That's smart.
Which is a wonderful way to think about it. You know, the books that you got last year at our book sale, feel free to re-donate them, and then somebody else this year can purchase those and experience that same story that you got at the sale.
It's and again, all of this you're able to have in the back of your mind, the front of your heart, while I'm impacting the future.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm impacting the future of our community, of our society. I am helping a young person continue their education. I am being a part of that. I am being a part of the good change in this community. That's and it's just from purchasing a book or dropping off a book, something as simple as that. And you can have that feeling with you and carry that with you. When we talk about these scholarships being handed out and you hear the information, the individuals accepting them, that good feeling continues.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you hear about this person coming back to town or staying in town and opening a business or working at a business or something like that, that feeling continues. Years later, you feel this, the impact of this.
Well, and it's been nice. We always get a thank you card from those that receive the scholarship that we sponsor. And in the last several years, it's been nursing students. So going into the hospital or for your doctor's checkup or all of that, you never know. That may be somebody who was able to benefit from a scholarship that we did here in our community.
Yeah. And it all comes from, you know, either, you know, donating a book that you weren't reading anymore anyway, probably, or purchasing a book that is going to be maybe your new favorite book that you're rambling and telling everybody that they have to read. That's such a fun thing to be a part of. And I'm glad you've touched on this a bit because you know how you know who you're working with. I get too serious sometimes. Books are fun.
They are.
Books are awesome. This is a fun. This is a fun event. It's a great event. We could have book sales every day and have it a fun one. This is a unique one where we're able to get books from neighbors and community members and have that integral part of it as well. That's so much fun.
And we try to continue to pass that on. So at the end of the sale, when books are left and we receive thousands and thousands of books for which we are very grateful. And I have yet to be here a year. Maybe this will be the year if everybody comes out and helps out that we don't have books left over. So we re-donate those to other organizations that could use those. For instance, the jail can use any paperback books. So any paperback books that we don't sell, we bring over to them so that they have a chance to read a book and understand that. We donate all of our children's books to the Focus so that they can be handed out to children through SWEPs and other programs that they do there so that children can get books into their hands. So there are different areas that we want to be able to continue to pass this on.
The community book sale will be going on. The bin to collect books will be going out. It's already out. I'm sorry.
It is.
That is already out, but it will be out until September 16th. Keep that in mind, everybody. You can take a look at the bin, see what kind of books they're accepting, and go ahead and donate, and greatly appreciate you doing that. And keep in mind, when the book sale goes on, this is a great opportunity not only get out, see some people, have some fun, but find some good reading material.
If you want to mark your calendars, it'll be coming up October 10th and 11th from 8:30 to 6 p.m., and then we'll do our bag sale on that Saturday, October 12th. Anything that you can put in a bag, you get that bag of books for $2.
That's sweet. That's a great deal.
And of course, we're going to welcome you in style, and we'll have refreshments, home-baked goods and things like that by the ladies, and coffee, and a place for you to sit and peruse. We want to make you feel welcome.
I will never let my mother find this out. Do not tell my mother this, but nobody has better baked goods than church ladies, church people. Never. You're never going to find it better than that.
It is true.
It's going to be good stuff. I'm looking forward to this, and we'll certainly be having you back and to talk about the book sale when we get closer to it, Beth.
Wonderful.
We're speaking with Reverend Beth Habhager from Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church. And Beth, I wanted to talk a little bit about your 4th of July event coming up as well.
Yes. Every year, when there's been a fireworks show, we host a brat fry, but we sell more than just brats. We also have hamburgers, hot dogs, nachos, popcorn, and all of that. So when you're coming out to enjoy the community on that day, we encourage you to come on over and find us. We also have baked goods there that you can purchase.
I'm writing that down. Right
yeah,
there.
Come on over. The nice thing is that the community band is scheduled to perform at the Centralia Center. We're right across the street.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can come on over and get dinner and then go enjoy the concert and then, you know, find your way around our church, get some popcorn to watch the fireworks.
That's a great event. That's a great idea. That is going to be a lot of fun. I think especially for a lot of people that for years and years and years, you've been doing kind of the same thing on the 4th of July. And there's nothing wrong with that. We really celebrate the 4th right around here.
Right.
We have some great stuff going on. What a fun way to kind of like just change it up a little bit without like completely changing up your schedule either.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of this stuff you may already be doing. You're certainly going to be in that part of town. Taking in this stuff is, again, a way to support local, a way to help local, but also have a real fun, unique time, too.
Right. And so much is available over on the east side of the river.
Mm-hmm.
There's stuff on the west side of the river, too.
We're here.
We want to interact with you. We want to welcome you and make you feel a part of the community.
So well said. You know what I find interesting about that is I'm used to people who have been here for like 20 years saying that kind of thing. You guys have been here for a handful of years, and you already picked up. You get that. You get it.
I do.
You get it in the sense of we could joke about it, but also that, I could see a need here.
Yes.
We're going to do this. It again speaks to what I was talking about before about churches seeing these things and how unique and cool that is, I think.
Right.
We've gotten a chance this week to talk with Love Inc. and talk with some other organizations over the last couple of months. And it just, I feel like we've almost normalized this with our churches. And it's important for people, you know, if I'm being blunt, people like myself that do not go to church or don't have a regular connection with churches to see this kind of thing. And not everybody is spoiled like I am and in a chair like this that gets to see this, you know, all the time. But I never want to normalize that how lucky we are and how fortunate we are in our communities to have these individuals that care that much. That care that much about strangers, that care that much about their community, to do these kind of events, like the ones you see with Love Inc., like the ones you see with other churches, and like these that we're talking about here with the Moravian Church.
Churches are all about relationship and building community, and the best way to build community is with the community. So we want to hear what's going on out there, and if there's a need, we want to try and figure out ways to make that happen, to meet that need.
With the 4th of July event, that we're the brat fry that we're talking about.
Yes.
Anything else anybody should know about this with the details?
We'll be starting with the brat fry itself from 4 to 8:30. There will be meals available, so there'll be chips. So you can get a hamburger, chips, and a soda for a certain price, or you can buy them each individually. It's a wonderful opportunity. We're considering this year, so if you come out, I think it's on a Thursday this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe there's supposed to still be a farmer's market that morning.
Oh, okay.
So we may be starting to sell our baked goods up at the corner, Goggins and First, maybe starting around 11. If you want a little sweet tooth, want to get dessert for lunch, you can do that and then just come on back. We want to make sure that you are aware, though, we become a handicap parking lot mm-hmm. for the fireworks yeah. themselves. So those that have trouble with their mobility, they are welcome to park at our church parking lot to be able to find a good spot to be able to see the fireworks show.
It's another wonderful thing that you guys are offering able to do for our community. Mm-hmm. And I hope that something like that has always existed. But to be honest, I never heard about anybody doing anything like that until you and I started talking and you joining us on the air here mm-hmm. and everything. It's vital to our community, having that part of our population represented and thought of. It just, again, speaks to what the kind of theme, unintentional theme you and I have today of this, and the way our churches reach out and the way our churches do such good in our communities. The 4th of July Broad Fry coming up. We're looking forward to that. We'll talk more about it, of course, as we get closer to it.
Excellent.
And everything.
Yep.
Again, we will have you. You'll have to come back, Beth. I'm sorry.
Darn.
We've got a couple of minutes left, Beth. I would like to just real quick reference one thing, and then I'll leave the space for you. But you do such a great job with your services. And I know that my dad and some others out there really love taking them in on YouTube. My dad isn't always, especially a Sunday morning, his hip is not able to, he's mm-hmm. not as flexible as he'd like to be, or as
right.
much as I try to remind him he isn't. and it's very important for him to get that, to fill his cup, you know, mm-hmm. and faith is a huge part of what does
right.
that for him. Not being able to go physically to a church, like, bothers him and hurts his soul.
Aww.
Being able to take in the services that you provide on YouTube is really helpful to him and really goes a long way for that soul and his betterment. The rest of the week, he's usually better when he takes them in and everything. So I don't, not only thank you for doing that, but I want to remind the audience that that is something that is available on YouTube.
Yes, we live stream our worship services, and we have switched our time for the summer. So if you're looking for us online, it's going to be a little bit earlier. We start our worship service in person at 9:30. We begin in person doing our prayer concerns and sharing so that there's still some privacy around that. So mm-hmm. we don't live stream and get it onto YouTube yeah. until about 5 minutes later.
Mm-hmm.
But you can find us on YouTube. We have our own channel called Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church. Go ahead and we save all of our and keep all of our services on there too. So if there's a Easter service that you want to check out, if there's a Christmas Eve service you want to check out, those are also still going to be there. Or you can always join us via Zoom if you'd like to do that and be a part of that experience. And that link is found again on our website, wrmoravian.org.
Mm-hmm. Beth, in the last minutes we have here, is there anything you wanted to touch on and mention, or you want to re-go over anything?
I just want to be able to thank the community. We have been trying to be very mindful of what we can do. We do have a laundry ministry that we get clients through other referring agencies that we're thrilled to be able to help families in that way. And we're in the process of continuing to try to get a music ministry going. So mm-hmm. we've got a couple of studios at the church, and some things are possibly happening that maybe that'll get up and off the ground yet this year.
We can help make those things happen, encourage you to do that. Beth, if people want to find out ways they can help with that, find out more about the community book sale, the 4th of July Broad Fry, or any of the things we've talked about today, how can they reach you? How can they find out more?
They can email me personally at WRMC, Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church. So WRMCpastor@gmail.com. You can give us a call at the church office at 715-423-0180. And if nobody's there is a message with a phone number where you can contact me.
And again, I cannot encourage you enough to go into YouTube, type into your search bar, Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church, subscribe to the page, share the work that she's doing and the gang over there is doing, and support the work that they're doing over there. And you can find out more about the church itself at wrmoravian.org, wrmoravian.org. Beth, always a good time with you. Thank you so much for the time.
Thank you again for having me.
We'll have more Midday Magazine for you next week, everybody. Want to send a big thank you to the head scheduler, our head producer, Pam Hilke, and the amazing work she does week in and week out. We appreciate you, Pam, and appreciate all of our guests this week. Be listening next week in this time slot for more Midday Magazine on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
The Todd Alba Show.
Luke, General Kelly is someone who lost a son in battle. And at the grave of his son, the then sitting president of the United States, Donald Trump, said, "I just don't get it. What was in it for them?"
To him, it's always been, how can I get my name out there? He's never going to be fulfilled. He's never served something larger than himself. And I think on days like Memorial Day, it's extremely telling.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life.
perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
Crude and Dom.
Guilty, 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 guilty.
Tune in Devil's Advocates.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6. The Todd Alba Show.
Managing editor of E-Bombs World, Mr. Peter Rapine.
Google this week released a new product, the new AI overview. If you Google search, can I use gasoline to cook spaghetti? Google says, no, you can't use it to cook spaghetti, but you can use gasoline to make spicy spaghetti dishes.
Not recommended. Do not do that.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Congressional leaders have invited Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu to address a joint session. That happened just after President Biden announced an Israeli ceasefire for hostages proposal.